Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, the government is planning new laws to ban disposable vapes in Ireland. It also wants to restrict the sale of flavoured vapes, which it believes appeal to children and to young people. There are also plans to limit point-of-sale advertising to specialist vape shops. Well, I'm joined now by Professor Des Cox, who's consultant in paediatric respiratory medicine, and also by Joe Dunn, who is director of Hail Vaping. First to you, Professor Cox. You've been campaigning for this. I'm sure you welcome this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Claire. Yeah, we've been campaigning on this for a while now, and the Royal College of Physicians in Ireland published a position paper calling for the ban on disposal of vapes last October. So the measures that are currently being talked about and introduced are certainly welcome. There has been a significant rise in the use of disposal of vapes amongst young people. You know, across not just Ireland, but in Northern Ireland, in the UK, and across the world, since their introduction, and it's the product of choice for young people now. So, certainly from a public health perspective, a ban on disposal of vapes will discourage the uptake of vapes.
Okay. Do you think that banning flavoured vapes will stop people who already vape from vaping?
Yeah, so the argument for banning restricting flavours on vapes is that the evidence is showing that they are extremely attractive to young people. So bubblegum, banana, you know, all those different flavours and the way they are coloured and packaged are proving to be attractive to young people. And they're a recreational product, that are being advertised and marketed towards young people and children. So the argument that is that if you take away the flavours, then obviously people who want to use vapes to get off cigarettes will not choose vapes. Well, where they've introduced this in other countries, there hasn't been an increase in people switching back to smoking where this has been introduced. Across the world, in most developed countries, the gradual trend in smoking is gradually declining. We're not seeing increases in areas where they have introduced a ban on flavours. So that argument doesn't seem to be holding up. In the US, where they've significantly restricted the sale of certain vaping products, there hasn't been an increase in people going back to tobacco. So this measure that the government are talking about introducing only includes disposable vapes and flavours and advertising. It doesn't affect anyone who wants to use a rechargeable vape or, you know, one of the ones that you can buy in a vape shop.
Right, but that will mean an investment. Let's go to Joe Dunn now, Director of Hail Vaping. Joe, what do you think of these measures? Because as Des explained there very clearly, it's only disposable vapes and it's only flavours. Is it going to make a big difference to your business?
Well, even if you put the business aside, Claire, we need to look at what we're trying to do here. You know, at the end of the day, what we're trying to do, like, let's not lose sight of the real problem. Smoking is the real problem that we have in the country, and vaping is something that is helping smokers quit. So that's the first thing we need to look at. When you look at disposables, then they do play a very important role for many smokers, because disposables sometimes are often the first type of product that a smoker will go to because of its convenience. Because it's very similar to a cigarette in terms of you take it out of the box and you can vape it straight away. You don't have to open it up and fill it up with liquid and things like that. So it is sometimes the first port of call for adult vapors. The thing we need to remember, Claire, and I'm not on here saying we don't need to do something. I think regulation needs to tighten up in terms of enforcement and things like that. But banning is not the answer. And I'm sure Des Cox understands this as well. When people keep talking about Australia doing a great job, Australia is the one where it's having huge issues now because vaping is banned. It's only by prescription. So it has created a huge black market over there. And that is what we will have here, because disposables will still be available throughout Europe. We will have products flooding in here from God knows where and God knows what is in them. And then we might have a serious health issue. But when we hear the government coming out with statements like, you know, it's on health and environmental grounds, I really can't get my head around that. Like, no one's talking about cigarettes. If you want to ban or do something about environmental health, well, then ban cigarettes. Cigarettes are killing 65% of the users, and they contribute to over 55% of the litter in this country. Like, people are putting cigarettes away. It's like vaping is worse than smoking at this stage, mm-hmm. which we know scientifically it's not clear. I think we're losing a bit of perspective in terms of that.
What about the flavours? You know, rainbow candy floss, bubble gum, whatever it might be. Are you in favour of banning those? Because you can't deny they are attractive to children, aren't they?
Well, the one thing I'll say about flavours, Claire, there's two things I'll give you. I will say is that, yes, I accept in the industry here that there is some flavour names and some packaging that I would not deem to be acceptable in the industry. Yes, there is. But you're always going to have an element of that in any industry you're in. The thing we need to remember about flavours, and I don't know where Des Cox got his information from in terms of banning flavours doesn't affect it. It does. Look at San Francisco, banned flavours last year. Smoking rates went up 15% in terms of adults and young people. In excess of 80% of adult vapors, Claire, use non-tobacco flavors. And the perfect example I can give you, Claire, and I really need people to listen to this, is that when you look at Nicorette, the chewing gum, everything that's out there in terms of nicotine replacement therapy, they don't have a tobacco flavor. It's berries, it's mint, it's all the different flavors that adult people like. People don't like the taste of tobacco. And if flavors are gone, you are going to have a huge percentage of people going back to a habit that is going to kill 65% of them.
So you're saying if the flavours are gone, if the disposables are gone, the risk is that people go back to smoking cigarettes.
Yes, if disposables are gone, there's going to be an element of people go back to cigarettes. Of course there will. And there will be an element of people who will move to an open system, which is a rechargeable one. I accept that. But there will be an element who will just go back to cigarettes for convenience.
Okay, and I just want to ask, because I want to get the evidence on this. So Des, is there evidence that that has happened in other places where decisions have been made to ban flavours?
For instance, in Finland, where they introduced a flavours ban, there hasn't been an increase in the number of people smoking in the country, and the rates of smoking there continue to decline, as they do in many developed countries. Australia, we don't know the answers yet. They've only introduced this measure in 2024, so we don't know what the evidence behind it. So there are countries like the Netherlands who have brought it in. Again, we don't have much evidence from that, but the UK are planning the exact same thing, and Northern Ireland are planning the exact same thing. So we need to try and plan here, because there has been, what we're creating is a new generation of teenagers and young people addicted to nicotine, and that's what this measure will avoid. And it's not going to affect the people that want to use vapes to get off cigarettes. Now, when you think about the evidence of vapes to get off cigarettes, it is quite mixed. It isn't a slam dunk that by using vapes you're going to get off cigarettes. We would always promote that people should be going towards the measures that Joe talked about the NRT and the nicotine
replacement therapy.
Which don't work. And
so NRT doesn't work.
Well, it works just as well as vaping.
But it doesn't work. If you look at Research Ireland report, Des, last year, you look at it, over a quarter of people who quit use vaping. It was the most successful quitting aid of everything that's out there.
Well, that's not what the systematic reviews would tell us across the world. I mean, well, that's their research.
Healthy Ireland survey,
we can all quote different. Look, we can all quote different papers.
I'm
saying to you that the evidence is mixed. So what we would recommend is that people who want to quit smoking, and we're all in agreement that smoking is bad for you, we're saying that you should go to the tried and trusted methods of
which
of
is what Des, which is what? What's the tried and which trusted is, method, Des? Please
which
tell
is,
me
which
that.
Which is medications prescribed by your doctor, which is the over-the-counter nicotine replacement therapy.
Which has a 97% failure rate. 97% failure rate NRT has.
Okay, Joe, vaping just one second. 25%. Joe, one second. Des, are you saying that vapes are not useful for people who want to quit smoking?
So I'm saying that the evidence is mixed. If you look at a lot of systematic reviews which collate all the papers together, there's very few papers that are out there that strongly support vaping as a quitting tool. What happens is that 40% of people who use vapes to get off cigarettes, they end up dual using. And then the other, another large proportion of people who switch from vapes continue to vape, so they never actually get off vapes. So they're continually nicotine addicted.
All right, whereas that's an important point. An important point, because what is the proven harm of people continuing to vape exclusively if they don't smoke cigarettes or tobacco?
So the, well, there is, there is,
sorry, Joe, I just want to get an answer on this because I think it's really important.
There is certainly emerging evidence now that we're all in agreement that vaping is not as harmful as cigarettes, but they are harmful. And they do cause cardiovascular, so it affects your heart and your lungs. Young people who use these products are reporting respiratory symptoms. They're increasing their risk of asthma attacks and other respiratory problems. So they're not harmless, okay? So it's really important that we point that out to people as well. That if you chronically vape, the evidence is that it will affect your heart and lungs over time. So that's what that's why we would also say that the tried and trusted methods are more preferable than vaping if you're trying to get off cigarettes.
Okay, and for you, Joe, you're saying that we may now have a black market in these things, because if you're somebody who already vapes a watermelon disposable vape, if you can't get it from your company or any other shop, you'll probably order it online.
Well, you can order it online, or people are bringing it into Northern Ireland or whatever. There is many ways you can do it. When we look at people who have given up vaping, I do not understand. There's 3 million ex-smokers in the UK who do not smoke anymore due to vaping. Okay, they are vapers. Vaping is 95% less harmful. It is less harmful than smoking. I can't understand...
Fact, Joe, and the UK are actually bringing in a ban on disposal of vapes as well.
We're talking about vaping being a helpful tool to smokers. And the population data, the science that we have, tells us that it works. That is
the
bottom line.
Why are the UK bringing in similar measures if they're promoting vapes as a quit tool? If you're saying that the UK are so pro-vaping, then why are they banning disposable vapes? Why are they banning flavours? Why are they restricting advertising?
They're not banning flavours.
They're bringing in restrictions on flavours.
No, listen, Des, it's up for consultation. I can't understand how we live in a world when we're talking about health and environmental grounds and people are just anti-vaping all the time. The thing we need to remember is, right, and even the biggest critics have to agree with this, vaping is immeasurably less harmful than smoking. That's what it's compared against and that's what it's there for. That is the reason it was brought out.
Yeah.
And it is the most... Let me finish.
Yeah, sure.
And it is the most successful tool when you look at the Healthy Ireland report, which is the government report done through the HSE. Them two facts are there. We can't argue with them.
Joe, I was just listening to Stephen Donnelly there. He was asked some questions about this when he was going into Cabinet this morning, because he's bringing this proposal at that meeting. And it just struck me that he said, adults can make their own choices. That's absolutely fine. And I know that's who you sell to. But he said, we want to keep our children safe. Now, everybody listening to this will have seen, particularly after school or at lunchtime, the teenagers who are out there smoking disposable vapes. This is about them, isn't it? It's about making sure that they're not becoming addicted to nicotine.
No, 1,000,000%, Claire, and I agree with you. I'm in this business over 12 years now, and I'll tell you, we do not sell to underage. We have facial recognition technology in our stores and things like that. But I tell you where the government can go, Claire. Like, the over 18 ban only came in this year, okay? The second thing is the licensing system is not in place. We have conducted external surveys of places where vaping is sold in non, say, retail environments, okay? And that is where the problem is. That is where over 96% of shops like that are selling to underage. It is not in vape stores and it is not in places where tobacco and alcohol are sold.
And they're supposed to have a license now under the new rules.
But the license hasn't come out yet. But if the government were really serious about this, okay, really serious, which I would be 100% behind this, is they need to restrict who they give the license to, like you do with alcohol. That's what we need to do. And then what you do is you have a tighter base of who's selling it, and then you can really impose the severe penalties and the severe repercussions when somebody sells to somewhere under 18. Because I agree with you, no one under 18 should smoke or vape, 100%. That is a fact. It shouldn't. They should not be using any nicotine products.
All right.
So we need to do better.
All right, Des, having listened to Joe just there, do you think there's another way to cut it, or is the ban the only way forward in your view, the ban on the disposables and on the flavours?
So, absolutely, it is the way forward. So, just to clarify, the 95% safer than cigarettes is not based on any fact. They are harmful. They're not as harmful as cigarettes, but they are harmful products, okay? Mm-hmm. The second thing is the UK are planning on bringing in restrictions on flavours. They're also planning on a ban on disposable vapes, and they're planning on restriction advertisement. That goes for Northern Ireland as well. So what will happen if we don't introduce something like that, that we will be cowboy country. We will be the market that people will be going down to from the north to get their disposable vapes and things like that. So we need a uniform plan that will protect children going forward, and this is the best way forward.
We'll leave it there for now. Professor Des Cox and Joe Dunn, thank you both. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.